Hello, dear friend. This is Whitney Doe inviting you to listen to Methodist Hour. We will hear the music of contemporary praise and a timely message from the Bible by John Wolfe. Stay with us and enjoy the next 14 minutes, won't you? Methodist Hour encourages evangelical Christianity as we reach around the world. The Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and every tongue confess that He is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Sing this praise song with us, Jesus above all names. Today's message is entitled, Digging Up the Dirt Again. Here is Methodist Hour speaker, the Reverend John Wolfe.
Thank you very much, Whit. The gospel lesson is Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into the boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, and he said, Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky soil, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them out. Other seeds fell on good soil, and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Now let anyone who has ears listen. Amen. You know, I can remember so clearly hearing those words. Listen up, men. All right, boys, listen up. I can tell you it's been a long time since I heard those familiar words. Sergeant Angel, my drill sergeant in the Army, would often say that when we stopped on a long march or some kind of training environment, and he wanted us to hear something. Coach Friedman, my high school football coach, used to say it. All right, boys, listen up. He'd say that when we were getting ready to go on the field to play a game. You know, the more intense the game became, the more he used that expression. The thing I remember most about those words is that when they were spoken to make sure that we would listen. They meant something important was about to be said or demonstrated. The more I think about it, I don't think anyone ever explained to me exactly what they meant. I don't think Sergeant Angel or Coach Friedman ever said, you know, what these words meant, but somehow just hearing them, we knew what they meant. Whenever those words were spoken, everyone listened. In this lesson, Jesus uses the same kind of expression in two places. First, he says, Listen, a sower went out to sow. Then at the end of that very parable, he says, Let anyone with ears listen. Now, to those early readers, the words literally meant, Listen up, I am about to tell you something very important. And it means for us that Jesus wanted these early listeners to carefully hear the message that he was teaching. Now please listen again as I read the words of Jesus for you. He said, Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground. They sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them out. Other seeds fell on good soil, And they brought forth great amounts of grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Now, what I want you to remember is that these words were not written so that biblical scholars would have centuries to study and figure out what they meant. These words were spoken to an average group of persons like you and me. And those persons were trying their best to understand what it means to live out this message of hope in Jesus Christ. They were written to persons in different times and different culture than you and I live in. And because of that, you and I must pay close attention to understand what those original listeners were going through and what was at the center of the meaning of the words for them. The truth is, I think most any one of us could listen to that parable and write a lesson or a sermon about it today. But I want us to look at it. Jesus said, the sower, that would be God, or Jesus, went out to sow some seeds, that is, to tell the good news of the gospel. Some of those seeds fell on a hard path, and the birds came and ate it before it could grow. Some seeds fell on rocky soil, that is, no soil, a quick spurt of growth, and then they died. Some fell on thorns. They never even got to the ground, and those that did grow could not grow. But finally, some fell on good soil, and they grew and blossomed, and there was a great harvest. Those who heard that day lived close to the soil. They were earth people. Nearly everyone was involved in farming at some level. They knew what was happening when seeds fell in those conditions. They could see it. They could understand it. Jesus likened those who heard the good news to the soil. He said, some just didn't get it at all. Some had it for a while, and others did a little better, but at the end gave up. While there were some, like the disciples, who heard it and let the message change their lives. What if we were using our words today? I think we might use some of the words that I learned from Dr. Fred Craddock. The words are really your words or my words. Jesus might say, now listen, some who heard had a lot of doubt. Some who heard were too critical. Others simply rejected the whole idea. Even others were so disappointed in their experience they just walked away. And some said, yes, that's it, and lived a life accordingly. Now there's an obvious point here, and that is that if you want to hear the gospel to understand it, not for some intellectual exercise, but for life-giving substance of the gospel, you need to be on good soil when it is sown. On the one hand, you could say that it means that one has to open his or her heart to hear the message, and if you don't like it, it's like sowing seed on rocky soil. And this part is the truth. But now you see, listen up. It says, if you want to grow the seeds of faith in your life, you need to dig in the right soil. It's almost impossible any other way. Now, let's look at that. The place to begin is to be part of the body of Christ that we call the church. Now, this does not mean that you cannot be a Christian if you don't belong to a church. It does not mean that you cannot worship if you don't belong to a church. It does not mean that if you die as a Christian and you don't belong to a church, you won't go to heaven. That's not the point. But you see, it does mean that being part of a fellowship of people who are trying together to understand how to live the gospel is the best kind of soil to strengthen your faith. In fact, it's a way to make sense of your faith. I remember Stephen. Stephen and I sat on a bench just outside the chaplain's office. Stephen is an inmate in a large prison. He still has 18 years to go on a 40-year sentence. He was 35 when he was convicted for selling drugs and fraud and forgery. Stephen was completing his postgraduate education when he got lost. He said, I went to church some when I was young, and my parents didn't go a lot, but I had some friends who did, and so I went from time to time. And those friends went away to college, and I got a job and started in high school, and I got my teaching degree in 7 years. Finally, Stephen said, I worked during the day, and I went to school at night, and I studied on the weekends, and I really didn't have anything or any time for anything else, especially for church. Then Stephen told me that he had made a couple of very bad financial decisions. Not gigantic, but they were big. They were just a matter of a few $1,000s. He said he bought a car that was too expensive and he had it repossessed, and finally, because of the losses, he was behind on everything. He reasoned that he worked so hard that he should not be in debt. And then one afternoon, by accident, he met a young man who was bragging on his new car. Stephen said, I was pretty excited about that. Stephen asked him how he could afford such a car. Well, it's an old story, he said. All I had to do was make some deliveries for this guy, and I made $1,000 a week. I didn't ask, but I knew it had to be drugs. Finally, I was pushing people for money. I took their possessions and even forged some signatures on stock certificates. Reverend Wolf, the frightening thing is that I would never have done any of those things when I first started. But little by little, it seemed to be okay. I mean, people are making billions of dollars, he said, and they're making billions of dollars in the drug business, and I was only getting $1,500 a week. And Stephen said this. He said, you know, I should have known that this was going to happen. My grandfather told me when I was a kid working on his farm. He said, Stevie, you can't expect to grow much when you dig in the wrong kind of dirt. 2 years of digging in the wrong kind of dirt, he said, got me 40 years in this prison. But then finally Stephen said to me, he said, Reverend Wolf, since I've been here, I've gotten to know Jesus Christ as a personal friend. I wish I'd kept trying to learn when I was young, but if it took this, it's still worth it. Amen.
John Wolf, I know you've got another message. Share your word with us now.
Thank you very much. Just over a year ago, I received an email from a young man named Miroslav Kaban. He actually lives in Ivano, Ukraine. He sent a nice note, thanked me for the program, and I responded. But for some reason, today I thought of him, and I tried to contact him. I just can't imagine what he must be feeling right now. And I feel so helpless to do anything for him, except I know that I can ask you to hold him in your prayers as you pray for him and his country. Miroslav Kaban. Jesus said we ought to love one another as we should love ourselves. A simple thing that we can do, and it costs nothing. The truth is, though, I know that unless I can do that, I really can't ask anyone else to do it. It begins with me, and it begins with you. The reason I'm saying that today is that I feel pretty sure that the world is looking to see how we do that in America. I think that the best thing we can give to the world is not showing what we have, but how we live together and how we treat each other. And you know, I'm pretty sure that's exactly what Jesus gave his life to try to teach us to do. I pray your Easter is a blessing for you. Should you ever want to send a gift to Methodist Hours, please go to our website and just click donate, or you can send your gift to our address on the website. Please know that if you do send us a gift, you'll get a receipt. And of course, we are a 501c3 nonprofit organization. We've been that way since 1970. I hope you'll keep us in your prayers as we do you. Our website is MethodistHourInternational.com. MethodistHourInternational.com. I pray the Lord just pours His blessings all over you. In the name of Christ, amen.
And let us urge you to attend your neighborhood United Methodist Church or the church of your choice, where you will be offered Christ and meaning and joy for your life. And now until next week, this is your producer and host, Whitney Doe, praying that the good news will always be yours. And may the Lord bless you and keep you.